Okay, good morning, everybody. Just to think about next week is Hanukkah. Unless people feel otherwise, I don't see any reason why not to have Shir next week. Therefore, Mes Hashem, there will be Shir next week. Anything else? No, let's get to our regular topic. So, this morning we'll continue on the subject of Xeris, the Rabbonon, that were added to our Shabbos that we learned from the Novi. The Novi said, Toshif Shabbos Mirazach or Mirta Cheftacha with Davidava, we went to the Pasuk. And we learned many things from the Pasuk, and many additions were made to our Shabbos, which are not part of the Lama Tesmalopis, and therefore these things are not Isurei Doraisa, but rather they are Isurei Drabonon. But they are on a, let's say slightly, they're on a higher level than regular Drabonon, because they come from different Nevi'im. They're written in Yeshaya HaNavi, and therefore the way we look at it is that they are of a higher level than a Drabonon, which was enacted by the Chazal of later generations. The Anshei Knesset HaGdola is usually one of the sources of a lot of our Xeris, and they are no longer considered, or at least at the very beginning of Anshei Knesset HaGdola was Haggai and Malachi, and they were still Nevi'im, but generally most of what we get from the Anshei Knesset HaGdola is considered the Drabonon, the Talaim, from the Moraim, the Gemara. The Gemara does as late as about 400 years after the Churban, 300 years after the Churban. That's quite different. But this is Divrei Nevi'im, and therefore we treat it with a higher level of severity. And as we mentioned previously, sometimes when you've got a conflict, what to do, generally speaking, we say a Sophic Darais L'Humra, Sophic Drabana L'Kula, when you've got a doubt as to how to follow in the Halacha, when the Halacha, the underlying halacha is a question in HaTorah, then we go L'Humra. But if it's an underlying halacha is a Derabanan, we can go L'Kula. When it comes to Divrei Nevi'im, then we also go L'Humra. So something to keep in mind when we learn these halachas that are Divrei Nevi'im. So there's one of the halachas that we spoke about, how one walks on Shabbos, how one talks on Shabbos, where one goes on Shabbos, and Achana we spoke about. And now we're going to speak about what we call Shitrei Hedyotis, meaning the documents that are Hedyotis usually refers to people who are simpletons or idiots. In this case, it just means that it is non-mitzvah related, not Divrei Kedusha, it is the opposite of Divrei. We call it Chol, but Chazal use the Lashon of Shitrei Hedyotis. And we're going to say that there's an issue to read Shitrei Hedyotis. So, they're also going to point out that there is two forms of reading. There is reading, like we generally do when we daven, is we actually verbalize what we are reading. We actually produce it by saying it out. It doesn't have to be aloud, but you say it. You actually move your lips and you verbalize what you're reading. That is the general term for reading. And then there's another form is where you look at what's written without actually verbalizing it, without moving your lips. You're just using your eyes to take in what's written and make an understanding. There will be a slight nafkamina between the two forms of reading, as we will see in one of the cases later on. Otherwise, generally when we say reading, we refer to both forms, whether you read and you verbalize, or you read and you just internalize without actually moving your lips when you read. So, Shtarei Hedyotis or Shitrei Hedyotis are not to be read on Shabbos, not in the verbal form and not in just the observing form. What are examples of these documents and papers in literature? And that is, the typical example will be something which is an invoice, a loan, a deed, a contract. In fact, any business-related document, whether it is a newspaper that is giving the Financial Times, stock market results, or latest financial news, as well as, yeah, we'll come back in a moment, seeing prices. If someone gives you a quote, to look at the quote, even though you haven't accepted it, it doesn't mean much, it's just a quote, it's not an invoice. Nevertheless, all these things are business related and therefore may not be observed, looked at, read at all on Shabbos, and in fact there are. These documents are muktzah. We'll talk about muktzah in a moment. So to go window shopping and look at the and read the prices of the items that are on display is also part of forbidden reading on Shabbos. To look through a catalog, a price list, or even a timetable of a bus schedule or some sort like that, a timetable or something which you can't do on Shabbos, would all be forms, again, of things that are also to read in Shabbos. Now, very interesting, Rav Shlomo Zalman himself has an interesting swara, and it says, a catalog that has very nice pictures inside, and you're looking through the catalog for the pictures, not because you're interested in buying anything, not because you're looking at the prices, but because you're looking at the interesting pictures. So he says that that actually will be more so if you're just looking at the pictures because you're looking at it for enjoyment. The same thing, recipes, which you can't cook. You can't cook these recipes in Shabbos, and therefore reading these recipes would be awesome. But if there'd be a enjoyment out of it, the Yesh Omrim, that you can actually read a recipe, reading your magazine, and then come up with some interesting food ideas or something like that, or you're looking at the pictures of the very nice dishes that are being prepared, those will be mutter to do because you're doing it for the Anek, he says, for your enjoyment, and your intention is not to learn how to cook or know what the recipe is about, or you're not interested in buying anything over here or looking through the catalog because you're looking for something in particular, but rather because you enjoy looking at the picture. He takes it one step further and says that this catalog is mukta because it is full of items for sale which you can't buy on Shabbos. And therefore, the contents of this catalog make it a muktzah catalog. But it says, consider like a klishim lachta le'isur. Klishim lachta le'isur, as we've said many times, if there is purpose to move in such muktzah, because either tzarkufa mukaima, either you need the place where it is, or you want it for something, so then you're allowed to move such muktzah on Shabbos. So it says, to look through a catalog to enjoy the pictures would be a tzarkufa. That will mean that you need you have use for it right now, and therefore, even though it is muktzah, generally you're not going to be moving it around. But if right now you want to look through your catalog and enjoy the pictures of the latest whatever it is, couches that are for sale, not because you're looking for to buy a new couch, but because you like the new styles or it interests you, or the way they set up living rooms, or who knows what. What you find an interest in it, but if you do, then it says that's so good, but you can actually pick it up and look through it. Other documents that are valuable to you, for example, receipts that you keep because you want to file them for your under tax return or something like that, or so for whatever reason you're keeping certain documents, whether it's documents that someone has signed you an IOU, a loan, a contract, something like that. These are all documents that the person is careful what they do with. You are not going to give them to your kid to draw pictures on the back. You're going to file them away and keep them careful and not let anybody use them for anybody else, anything else. So they become muktzah machos tesher kis, which we spoke about earlier, is a more stringent form of muktzah, and you cannot move them at all on Shabbos, even to a group of koyma. Now, what about letters? Letters, the type that you get, friendly letters, not business letters, not correspondence that you have with for business or from business partners, but letters that you get from family and friends, which usually just carry news and facts about the family. So we're going to say that, generally speaking, one should not read them on Shabbos. However, if they've arrived on Shabbos and there's a possibility that they contain some important news, not that they contain sad news, Chas v'Shalom, but they all, or lehepach, the other way around, they have happy news, they're telling you there's a baby born, someone got engaged, not that type of news, but rather they're telling you that we had an attack of the local Kozaks and they're headed in your direction, and if this letter gets to you before they do, then perhaps it's a good time to leave town for a week or two, something like that. So then we would say that, that is something that a person may read on Shabbos, but here we're going to make the difference between reading and reading. A second, sorry. So then we would make the difference between the different types of reading, that to read it and to verbalize the words, read it aloud or even softly, but you verbalize the words would be also the only type of reading is to look into to see if there's any not interesting but important content that would make a difference to the way you behave today. So therefore it's considered Tzarech Hayom, it's considered Tzarech Hayom, Tzarech HaGuf. Maybe so they're sending you some medical information that you need. You wrote to them and asked them about a certain remedy or something like that. If it's something that there would be importance for today, so then you could open such a letter. It comes with the question how you open it. If it's sealed, is it going to open it for you? But if you have the letter open, then you can look through it. But obviously you're talking about it arrived on Shabbos. It didn't arrive on Friday. If it arrived on Friday, then reading Friday, then on Shabbos. So you should have read it on Friday. But the fact that you didn't, later we'll see maybe there is a point to. There are times where if you didn't manage to, you can read it today, but for this we'll say it should have been read before. So the only case you could read such a letter is if it arrived on Shabbos and you are expecting some content that would be relevant for you today. Commercial letters, business letters, as we said, they do not fall into this category that can be read on Shabbos. You cannot even look into them without verbalizing it. And of course, if it's of importance to you that you want to keep it, it obviously becomes muksumachas and kis, and you can't read it at all. If you have divrei Torah in a letter, then you may read the contents of the letter. You may read the divrei Torah in the letter, and even if the letter arrived before Shabbos, and now the first time you read it on Shabbos, it's also not a problem. Divrei Torah you can read in Shabbos, irrelevant of how it got to you, when it got to you. Newspapers. Me'ikadin, news items that are not commercial and not business related. I'll leave politics out of it, whether you're flower out of read politics, but general news items, me'ikadin, one may read about on Shabbos. The problem with newspapers is they carry many adverts, and they do have commercial and business pages, and therefore, even if a person is reading what's mutter, he has to be very careful that his eyes don't roam over and look at the adverts and look at the commercial sections and the business section, the offerings of sales and specials and those what. And therefore, it is brought down in the poskim that someone who is careful about what they do, someone who's a Yorei Shamayim, should avoid reading newspapers because of all the side issues that can come at the same time. But as I said, in the Ikehadin, there is no issue to read the regular news stories, if that's all you're reading. Divrei Torah in a newspaper, there's no issue whatsoever, but nevertheless, you still have to be careful not to read the adverts or the commercial sections put in. To read general knowledge, information, books, professional papers, newspapers that are, you know, like the National Medical Institute Journal or something like that, something which is not business and not politics and not stories, but it has content. It has content to enrich your knowledge. It is mutter to read on Shabbos. Obviously, you don't want to read a book that teaches you how to trade in the stock market, but you may read a book explaining to you how three-phase electricity works. That is not a problem. Yet, even all this is only mutter if it is not your field of expertise. That means an electrician should not be reading about three-phase electricity, because for him, it is business-related. And a civil engineer should not read about the latest bridge that was built and what technology they used and what engineering feats they achieved, because he's going to be learning from it. For him, that is business related. But the layman or the ophthalmologist who wants to read about a bridge has no problem. Just ophthalmologist shouldn't be reading about eyes. So to read information to become more knowledgeable on the ways of the world is mutter on Shabbos, essentially. Not only that, if there's an exposition, one actually may go and obviously there's no problem of getting in and payment and all the rest. But you can actually go to an exposition and see they're having the latest arms exposition in Paris, and you happen to be in Paris for Shabbos, and you want to go see the latest tanks and drones and all the rest, not because you work in the military, then it would be also, but because you have interest and curiosity. So you may satisfy your curiosity on Shabbos. Obviously, we're going to say that for someone who wants to live in a higher standard, that is not a recommended thing to do on Shabbos. It is not the recommended reading material to read on Shabbos. We're talking about the Ikar HaDin. The Ikar HaDin, extending your knowledge, even if it's outside of the Torah realm, is permitted on Shabbos. You may do these things in the Ikar HaDin. Now, what about reading a notice board? We have one in every shul. In this country, you have one on every street corner, and in between the street corners, at any place where you can use a bit of glue and post a poster, and or on every tree and lamppost and all those things, there's no shortage of what to read. What about reading these signs? Essentially, you have to be careful of the content. If the content is business related, is commercial, it is apartment for sale or something like that, offering a service or something, or those type of things would be also to read. But you want to know where a kiddush is, you want to know who's making an oifruch, what else do you read on the notice board, which stocker campaign is up at the moment. Those are things that are mutter to read. One should avoid looking at the obituaries and any other signs of tirus and avil, because that is something that brings a person to tzar on Shabbos, and Shabbos is not a time to dwell on sad things, and I should wait for Moshe Shabbos to read those things. Now there's another subsection, let's call it, to reading. Until now we've been speaking about what I call Shitra Hidyoitis, meaning that Chazal doesn't want us to read paperwork and literature that pertains to our weekday needs, as in commercial and business needs, and therefore there's an intrinsic issue of reading anything which is related to finance and the thoughts. There's another issue, and that is Chazal worried that if we allow a person to read certain things, they might come to make additions or subtractions from the material that they are reading. And therefore, when it comes to reading from a list, we are quite careful about what we're going to allow people to read on Shabbos, because we're afraid that a person might make an adjustment to the list. The example given in the Shulchan Aruch is a person should not be reading a guest list. You want to check out how many people you know that you're having. So many people, you want to recheck, you read out your guest list. You shouldn't do that, because one might come to, oh, so-and-so told me he's not coming, and you scratch out their name, which would be also from Shabbos. Therefore, reading lists of Shabbos is a problem. It could also be Shtarei Hidyoitis, because it's something that one shouldn't be reading, but essentially the halacha comes from Mechitas Rishimus, of crossing out a list, which will have Nafkaminus, meaning there will be a difference in how we relate to it, because the halacha talks about it, someone wrote it high up on the wall. He penciled in a list on a part of the wall that's not reachable, so therefore we say he's not going to wipe it out, so then it could be that it is mutter for him to read such a list. Shmir Shabbos is very makatsu on this subject, we should have checked it out before. But as far as I remember, there's a whole discussion in various cases. I remember there's a Prima Godin that discusses an interesting minig there was a minig at every Shabbos, after the Haftarah, after we said Yukon Purkon and the Mishaveach Laiskin, the Tzachit Shibur Ve'emuna, they would then say Haskaras Neshamas. Today Haskaras Neshamas is done usually only for a person who has the offsite on that day or the coming week, so then they'll make a Haskaras Neshamas. In pre-World War I Europe, some places it was even after post-World War I, but generally World War I was the time when communities were destroyed and the infrastructure, as was known to the previous generations, disappeared. But until then, you see it already earlier, it started falling apart. The Shari Ephraim, the Ephraim Zalman Margolios of the 19th century, already talks about the fact that the communities weren't like they used to be. But once upon a time, when people lived in the shtetl, and even when they lived in towns, but they belonged to a community, and it was a Pinchas, there was a book that was kept with a list of names of the people in the community. Every time someone got married, it was registered. Someone was born, someone was died. These things were kept in the community ledger. And came Shabbos, it was brought down in Siman Resh Pei Daled, that in Shabbos you must give neshamas. So who did they mention? So they mentioned the names of people who were deceased in the previous 12 months, that means the children are still in Avelus, and they mentioned the names of the deceased. They mentioned also certain individuals that paid an extra sum to the community in order that their name should be mentioned forever. That's how it was brought down. So every Shabbos, they, at that point in the davening, they'd make a Haskalah and Shamas for the new, so to speak, within 1 year, neshamas of people who were nifter, and a couple of other people in Vermeise, in Worms, Germany. They had an interesting minute. There was a story that took place, I don't remember when, before the book I was reading was written, and that means that book was written in the 17th century, so the story obviously took place before that. Some goy had been murdered, and they accused the Jews, and they put a siege around the ghetto, and they told them that they're going to destroy the ghetto and everybody inside it unless they hand over the murderer. Now, obviously, there was no one to hand over because the Jews did not murder the goy. And now came the question, what should we do? There was a big shaila halacha. Do you hand over a person, an innocent person, to save the whole town? Or since he's innocent, how can you condemn an innocent person to death in order to save the town? Who do you choose? How do you choose such a thing? For myself, there were two people in the town at the time who were visiting from Prague, and they both offered to give themselves over to the authorities as the culprits for the murder, and thereby saving the rest of the community, and they, Al Kiddush Hashem, gave themselves over, and were then sadly killed for the crime that they did not commit. And through their death, Al Kiddush Hashem, they saved the whole community. So their names were inscribed in the book of the Pinchas HaKehila, and their names were mentioned every single Shabbos, even many, many years later, as the Kedoshim of the city. Those who were killed in pogroms or crusaders or things like that were also included in this list. So what this got to do with what we're talking about is that they had a list, and the Prima Gadim asked the question, how can the Gabbai read the list on Shabbos? Because it could be that that week was the Yata that came up in the previous week. Now one of the names is no longer relevant. As I said, the minhag was that they only read out the names of those who had been nifter in the previous 12 months. If the Yahrzeit had, first Yahrzeit had passed, then he would be removed from the list of those who were there. He had not removed from Pinchas, it stayed in the ledger was kept, but he'd be removed from the list of the active names that are read out on every Shabbos, and therefore he asked the question, how can you read such a list? A similar Shaila was so brought up in contemporary Svarim, our day and age, is a they're having a bar mitzvah in shul, and the gabbai goes over to the father of the bar mitzvah, and he says, listen, who's coming for Shabbos? Who should we give aliyahs to? And the father says, I'll think about it, and I'll give you a list. Friday afternoon, he hands him a list of this grandfather, and this uncle, and this second cousin, and our list of who's getting Rishon, Cheney, Shlishi, Agmas, Lila, gives him a whole list. And as usual, one uncle doesn't show up, or someone's not feeling well, or something else happens, or someone is not there, or that she changes his mind because a different uncle that was not supposed to come did come. There's always last minute change. So the shaila is, can the gabbai read out this list in order to give out the kibbutim or to make a mishaberach, because he might come to change the list whether he adds or subtracts the name. And the heter given over there is it depends whether he has the right to do it or not. If the person who adjusts the list is the father and not the gabbai has to take the list as is, and it's not for him to adjust it, so then we'll have a heter, because since we said the problem here is that a person might come to adjust the list, he might come to take off a name, he might come to add a name, so then if it's not your list and it's not your right to change, so then it would be mutter for you to will be mutter to read such a list, otherwise one should avoid reading such a list. Okay, so that brings us to the end of the subject of what you can and cannot read on Shabbos. So obviously, holy literature, Torah literature, has no restriction whatsoever, even if it's printed in a letter or in a newspaper or a magazine with adverts. We're not going to restrict that. One just has to be careful not to eat the other things that come with it. Other literature, we see, depends if it's Shitra Hediotis or not, if it's related to business or not. And even so, one should avoid general reading outside, especially if it's in a newspaper, outside of Sefer Kodesh. The next, what about reading from a menu? Essentially, it's the same question as reading out a guest list, and as we said, that reading out a guest list, if you're the one who made the list, you're the one who's adjusting it, so a menu should be the same din, and therefore one should not be reading out these things on Shabbos. Lemaisa, a lot of people do read from lists. They prepare a lot of, especially you have a 3-day Yom Tov, and you need to know what's coming out of the freezer, or what to take out, and obviously you're not doing a chona, you're not taking out for the next day, or something like that, but still there's things that you need to do. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa is quite straightforward, and he just says, awesome. I will blinei to look around and see if there are any heterim. But as of now, this is what I see, that reading out from a list, whether it's a list of food or a list of guests, especially if you are the author of that list and have the right, you're the one who made it and you're the one who can change it, then one should not read such a list on Shabbos. So blinei, I'll look around, see what other people. There's one other thing that I just saw that I forgot to mention, and that is someone who is proofreading. Proofreading should not be done on Shabbos either, even if the content is content that may be read on Shabbos, because by definition, proofreading is you're going to make a pencil mark on the side where a correction. Now, some more issues of what you can talk about on Shabbos. So we've spoken about where you can walk to on Shabbos, what you can say on Shabbos about what you're going to be doing. What about saying to someone else? So we say that, this is also from the Pasuk of Nimtzei Chefsecha V'Daber Davar, that you should not take care of your own issues, what you've got to be careful what you talk about on Shabbos, and therefore you may not tell another person, whether that other person is Jewish or not Jewish makes no difference, you may not tell him to do something on Moshe Shabbos. In other words, something that you may not do on Shabbos, you may not tell someone else to do, even if you're telling him to do it after Shabbos. You're not telling him to do Menach on Shabbos. It's not Amir al-Akum, and I'm telling a guy to do a Menach on Shabbos. But I'm telling him to do it after Shabbos. Nevertheless, the etzem, the actual talking, the mentioning of the Menach on Shabbos is problematic, and you cannot tell. So, for example, you tell a taxi driver, you meet a taxi driver that you know, and you're going to need a taxi on Motzei Shabbos, and you tell him, please be by my house on Motzei Shabbos to take me to the airport. So even though you haven't told him to do a melacha on Shabbos, but you tell him to do a melacha on the day of Shabbos. On the day of Shabbos, you did the talking, even though the melacha is going to be done on Motzei Shabbos. So talking about a melacha that you can't do on Shabbos would be also to do. One can hint, and therefore, because if you're not mentioning a melacha and it has no melacha outcome, it's not going to be doing anything on Shabbos. It's just information that it's going to be using. So you could tell him, you know, it would be nice if I saw you on Moshe Shabbos. Or do you think you have time on Moshe Shabbos? You don't tell him what for. That would be permitted. Or another case is permitted, as we've said, where all these restrictions don't apply when it comes to a mitzvah. So a doctor that has to go somewhere, a moyel that needs to go somewhere, whatever the case may be, you need to catch a flight to go to a wedding, something like that. This is for the sake of a mitzvah. So then you actually could tell the taxi driver to be there on Motzei Shabbos because you're telling him for the sake of a mitzvah. And then the same as we've had previously, if you can do the melacha essentially on Shabbos, but right now you're prohibited because you haven't set up circumstances accordingly, then the dibur, the speaking about it, does not become awesome. So, therefore, as we've said, you can be makshish halach tchum, you can walk to the end of the tchum in order to bring in fruit that you have in your field that is outside the tchum. You can tell someone, I'm going to bring in my fruit, because there's no halacha in bringing in your fruit. And you can, now we're going to say, you can tell someone else, do me a favor on Moshe Shabbos, When you come to town, stop by my fields, pick up that basket that I left over there and bring it in. Why? Even though I can't bring those fruit in on Shabbos now because either they are outside the court or there's no Eruv, but those are practical problems that can be overcome. I could have built an Eruv in a way that there wouldn't be outside the tomb, or that there would be a way I could carry it. The fact that I didn't just means that practically I can't do that right now, but doesn't make it awesome to talk about. So something which is awesome to talk about because of a issue that can be overcome, then you are allowed to talk about it. So therefore you can tell another person, irrelevant whether it's a Jew or a Goy, you can tell another person that on Moshe Shabbos, please bring a certain item, even though that entails having to carry it through an area which doesn't have an area, or from an area that is outside the tomb. You're telling him to do it on Moshe Shabbos, and you're telling him something which theoretically could be done on Shabbos, and therefore doesn't get a name of talking about a halacha. What you cannot tell him is to bring fruit that is still hanging on the tree, because there the fruit is mukta because it is lacking picking. Or if you have produce that hasn't had trumas and maizes taken, produce without trumas and maizes is called tevel, and tevel is mukta on Shabbos because it is not halachically edible. And since it's not edible, therefore it is mukta, and therefore you cannot tell someone, bring me the basket of tevel on Moshe Shabbos, because there's no way you could do it on Shabbos. Okay, the next section is still on of what you can talk about, but then make a section on itself with remaining. We'll stop there. Wish everybody a wonderful Hanukkah, a great week, and a Emet Hashem, unless anybody says the other way around, see you again Tuesday on Hanukkah.
Thank you.